Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome here today. It was a raining morning, now it looks like a sunny morning, so we'll take it both. I want to thank you for all the comments and encouragement that I received the last time I brought the message. Really challenged me as moving forward. There's even some brothers here that gave me some helpful criticism. Maybe that strengthened me some. So I just want to thank you all for that. And folks, this is probably one of the top two hardest sermons I've ever preached, so we'll see how that goes from here. So leading up to that, I'd just like to go to the Lord in prayer as he'd guide us and lead us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being able to gather together corporately, and those that are gathering together with us online, that we can just open up your word, that you would speak to our hearts and open our ears to hear the word proclaimed, Lord, in truth, and your holy name brought glory and just power. Lord, we can't do this without you. We need you to come into our service this morning and just bless us as we go through this and just move in this place today. And with Pastor Jim and with all the other pastors in our area, just move in your church. Lord God, we love you and pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so today I'm going to bring you a message. It's in your bulletin, Jesus and who he is. I just like saying that because I like seeing your face. Casey, we've been in church a long time. We know who Jesus is, right? We study him, we know him, we believe in him. Okay, that's true. But don't tune out. Just kind of stick with this. This is going to give kind of a deep dive into who Jesus actually is and what the book of Colossae says about who Jesus and who Christ is. So I know we're the church and I know we know Jesus, but we're just going to dive into it. I think it's necessary. Paul found it necessary in the book of Colossians, and I think it's still relevant and necessary today. And the reason that led me to this, I started Googling around and started searching some of the sermons that are out there today. I went to YouTube, easy enough to do, started searching sermons, and I searched the most popular sermon and preached in 2021. And folks, I made it about 7 minutes into it, and I had to shut it off. They preached Jesus, they preached God, they preached wealth, they preached health, they preached comfort, and they preached a me-centered gospel. And I couldn't even listen to it. And folks, that message had over 5 million views. It was disheartening to see that that's where we're at. And I was thinking, and as I was listening to it, I'm like, how would this message preach to the church in China, the underground church in China, bringing that very same message there? How would it go over? They'd laugh them out of there. It would not be received. It would not be welcome. Because they preach and they know the Jesus of the Bible. And they know that they're not after wealth. They're not after health. They're not after comfort. They're not after happiness. No, I'm sure they would all enjoy that. But they know the true Jesus. And they know what Jesus brings, right? And also what I've noticed in going through this search and this study, looking at who Jesus is in America, is we're very comfortable with God. We can go to our workplace. We can go to the marketplace. We can go to the restaurants. We can bring up the word of God. And people are generally pretty comfortable with that. They have no problem talking about God or things of God. Not a problem. Churchy talk is no problem for a lot of people. They'll welcome it. They'll be even polite and friendly. They love talking about blessings. Oh, we're blessed this way and that way and the other way, right? That's never a problem. Not a lot of talk of trials. Not a lot of talk of temptation. Not a lot of talk of sin. Not a lot of talk of what the devil's doing, right? And then if you really want to stir it up, just bring up the powerful name of Jesus in your conversation, and the whole atmosphere will change. It just does. That name has so much weight. It bears so much power. That's the point. So we're going to dive into that today. So ultimately, what I want to fix on today is Jesus fixes our biggest problem. We have lots of issues. We have lots of struggles. We have lots of problems. But there's one big problem. We have the wrath of God to be poured out upon us if we don't know who he is because we live in a fallen state. That's what Jesus can do, and that's what he does, and that's what he continues to do. He can save us from our sins, right? He can give us all them other things too, and none of them things are bad in themselves, but if we miss this and we jump over this to go to them other things, we miss Jesus. So I took a page out of Pastor Jim's book today. We're going to go to Lifeway Research by Aaron Earls. He had 22 statistical researches that he did. I picked four of them. I thought they were relevant to the church today and to the relevant to the church in Colossians. So 63% of Americans identify as Christians. 63%, that's a pretty good number. I mean, we'd like to see it higher, but that's not terrible. 41% of Americans believe the Son of God existed before Jesus was born. Uh-oh, we got a problem already. That number should be much higher. If there's 63% of confessing Christians in America, it should be higher than 41% believe that Jesus was around before he was born. 57% of Americans think at least monthly how they can find more meaning and purpose. Remember that. People are seeking to know this. And then 69% of evangelicals look for the opportunity to speak to their neighbors and coworkers about their faith. That's great. That's almost 70%. But what are they teaching? What are they preaching, right? So the point of this little survey recap, well over half the population are so-called Christians. Well under half of these Christians don't know who Jesus is. They don't know him. Over half Americans are looking for exactly what Jesus offers. And nearly 70% of Christians are telling their neighbors about something. Is it the true Jesus? So we got to kind of cover these issues. I'm not super good at math, but these statistics don't add up. There's some loopholes in there. So we must know Jesus, and we must know who he is. Amen? We have to know the Jesus of the Bible. So we're going to go to Colossians chapter 1 today. And if you've got your Bibles, I trust you do. Open up to Colossians 1. We're going to start off in verse 9. But before we do that, a little background on Colossians. Paul wrote this letter in prison. And he knew about the church in Colossae. He knew that it was a strong church. He knew it was founded in Christ, and it was doing well. It was growing. There's fruits of their labor. It was a good church. But he got some news from Epaphroditus. He was meeting Paul in prison. He was telling him that there were some struggles going on in Colossae. Some stuff was moving into the church that was stirring up issues. So there were some false teachers there and some stuff being taught that wasn't aligning with Scripture. So there's this idea of this new enlightenment, this progressive movement. We haven't seen that at all. This idea that we need to add things to the cross. We need to add things to Scripture. We need to go beyond, you know, Christ isn't enough. That was being taught. That was getting involved in the church. A legalistic movement was coming in, that you needed ceremony. You needed certain things added to Scripture in a works-based in order to gain salvation. So that was being added into the church in Colossae. And then on top of both of them, angel worship was a big thing that was going on. People thought you had to reach out to an angel and talk or get in contact with angels in order to get in contact with God. It was kind of this passage. You had to go through angels. So that was being taught. Now, there's nothing new under the sun. This has been going on in Jesus' day, in Paul's day, and it's going on today. The devil and his schemes, they're same old, same old. He never changes his ways. He might critique them and tweak them a little bit, but he keeps on with the same idea, to lie and deceit and to corrupt. That's who he is, and that's what he's trying to do. But if we know the character of our true Jesus that we worship here on Sunday, we can combat this mightily, I promise. So we got all these kind of issues going on in the Church of America today, and it was going on back in Colossians. So let's see what Paul did when he wrote his letter to them. So verse 9, chapter 1. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we'll just take a break right there. So Paul knows all about the church. He knows what's going on. He knows the bad things that are coming in. He knows it's a strong church. He knows they know Christ. He knows all these things, and he's writing them this letter. And the first thing he decides to do is to pray for them and to encourage them through prayer and strengthen them, to strengthen the body. We all need this. All of our churches need this. We should always start here with prayer. Look at some of the things he tries to encourage with them in prayer. The knowledge of the will of God, wisdom, worthy walk with the Lord, fruitful in good works, right? James chapter 2, having them good works. And just being familiar with the Bible and familiar with who Jesus is. Paul starts with an encouraging prayer to the church there to build them up. And then he keeps going in verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, 12, giving thanks to the Father who qualifies us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light. So there were some struggles going on there too. Things were not always going well for the Christians there. So he continues to pray for them, and he prays for a supernatural power of God for extreme patience to endure suffering with joy. That's not of us. When we receive bad news, challenges, struggles, typically that's not our first response is joy. At least it ain't in my world. So that's what he's encouraging and praying for that you receive all of this through joy and be encouraged. And then he goes on in 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So after he prays for them to strengthen them and encourage them, he goes right to the gospel message, where we receive our salvation. Delivered from the power of darkness. See, that's where we were. We were stuck in our sins. We were in bondage there. But he conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, who we have redemption through his blood. That's the cross. And then the forgiveness of our sins through the resurrection. So after he builds them up with this powerful prayer, he lays out the gospel message right after it. Show them this is who we are. This is what we believe. And this is where we stand. He just lays it there. So he's kind of giving them, that's kind of the background of where we're heading. He makes that point leading all up there pretty quickly. He's just kind of brief and simple and all that. And then he's building up to get to the preeminence of Christ. Jesus Christ's supremacy, right? That's where we're going to go. So Colossians 1, 15 through 18 lays it out like this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created and are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. So preeminence is the fact surpassing all others, the ultimate fact. There's nothing beyond that. It is the fact. So that's what Paul is laying out and saying Christ is the fact, the one, the Savior. There is no other. So as we go through life, everyone comes to this point where we have these tough questions. You know, why am I here? What's the point of all this? What's wrong with this world? And how can we fix it? And this whole section of scripture here answers all four of them questions. And I'm just going to give you the short answer. It's Jesus. That's the short answer to all of them questions. Now we could spend the rest of our time and probably many sermons just going over that, answering each one of them four questions. We're not going to do that today. Maybe a part two in the future we can do that. But that's what he's answering. He's answering all them questions in that little section. But we're going to stay and focus on the preeminence of Christ today, who Jesus really is. So I want to read that one more time. I just want to make a little adjustment. I'm not going to add to the Bible. I'm not going to change it. I just want to just bring a little more clarity to that same portion of Scripture. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things consist. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Jesus may have preeminence. So Jesus may have the fact suppressing all others. That's what that's saying. So all four of them questions are answered in there, and it's all answered by Jesus. And someday maybe we'll get a chance to dive into that a little deeper. But for now, I went a little further. I started searching where and what does the Bible say, basically from Genesis to Revelation, on the preeminence of Christ, the supremacy of Jesus. Where does it go? What does it say? So I did some research. I did some checking. I came up with at least 230 scripture references to Jesus in scripture from beginning to end. Now, my first thought when I found that, I'm just going to lay out all 230 of them. I'm just going to lay them out, go through the whole list. I got some counsel from my wife. She said, that's not a good idea. So we didn't do that. But I couldn't leave it alone. And I was going through some things at home this last few weeks that have been challenging and struggles. And I was preparing for this message and putting it together, and the Lord was guiding it. I was just trusting in his faithfulness. And I couldn't leave this list alone. 230 scripture references. I was just blown away by that. So what I did is I made a small list of just a few of the powerful ones, and I put them together. And I'm generally not shaken very easily. I'm pretty steadfast. I'm pretty level. But putting this list together and just reading it out loud in front of my family, in front of the mirror, this list contains power, folks. This is a powerful list. I just want you to follow through it with me and just kind of hear what it says about our Savior, right? He is the I Am, God, Judge, Creator, Most High God, Master, Everlasting God. He is jealous. He is healer. He is the rock of my salvation, the morning star, the Redeemer. He is the rock of my fortress. He is altogether lovely. He is holy, holy, holy. He is the King over all the earth, the Son of the living God. He is betrayed, mocked. He is the Christ, the crucified. He is risen. The Word became flesh, the chosen of God. He is the Messiah, the bridegroom, the way, the truth, and the life. He is perfect, the Lamb of God, Christ, the cornerstone, the good shepherd who laid down his life, the Word of life. He is the resurrection. He is the true God. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Almighty, the first and the last, the exalted, the Amen, the Lamb who was slain, the God manifest in the flesh, Lord of lords. He is love. He is the righteous judge. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Savior of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of kings, the bright morning star. He is God. Folks, take a second and think of that. That's who we come to worship. That's why we come on Sunday mornings. That's why we're here. That's why we consist. That's what is going on. That is our Jesus. Them other things might be added in there, but this is who we worship. This is who we praise. This is the name of the Lord. And as I'm putting that list together, it was just so powerful. My questions are, do you know him? Is that the Jesus you know? Is that the Jesus you worship? Is that the Jesus you proclaim to your friends and your family, to your coworkers? Do you read this book? Do you read this Bible, looking that and seeking that out from Old Testament to New and looking for them, looking for the attributes of Christ? It's just so much different from what a lot of the sermons online are being preached. And they're just tickling ears. But if you get to the core of this, it's just so powerful. So that's our God. That's our Jesus. That's who we're seeking. But I'm going to take it a little bit further. I'm going to actually make the case that it's more than that. So Colossians 1:17 reads, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Or the NIV would say, "All things hold together." So I've been to churches in America, I've been to churches in other countries too, but and seen this also, where Jesus is still hanging there on the cross. The crucifixion is there. And I know this for lots of reasons why it's there, but folks, he's not on the cross anymore. He's not. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And not he's not just sitting there watching us. He's not bored. He's not tired. He's sitting there controlling everything, running everything. His power is throughout everything we do. He is before all things. Just a little side note on that. I have dear brothers in Christ that will look me in the eye, and they will not believe in the creation story. They will not believe in a young earth theology. They will not believe in that. They think there's too much scientific evidence. Folks, he was before all things. He was never created. He is the creator. If you reject that, I would argue you reject Christ. You have to start with everything it says, right? So he is before all things. And this is my favorite part. He sustains it all easily. He's not stressed. He's not tired. He's not bored. He sustains everything we do, everything. If you just look around, you look at the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, all hanging in place because he said so. Look at the plants, the animals, the crops as they get planted, they come up, they get harvest, all him. He's letting all that happen. You look at the animals and the way they move and what they do and how they sustain. He's in his hands at all of it. It wouldn't happen if it wasn't for him. The seasons, the tides, the waters, the rivers, the lakes, the fish, everything. And they all obey. Every one of them does exactly what he says to do. I didn't mention this in the first service, but I should have. We're the only ones that say no. Us. We're the ones that say, nope, I reject that. I'm not doing it. I'm doing what I want to do. I was supposed to mention that and I forgot. So we're the ones that reject this. Everything else obeys and obeys perfectly, right? So we must know who Jesus of the Bible is, and we have to be in our word to do that. So the message, I want to encourage us today, if that's your God and that's your Jesus and you know him like that, are you sharing it? Are you telling other people about this Jesus? Are you willing to break the silence in the room when somebody brings up, oh yeah, my God, or has a God conversation and then interject the name of Jesus into that and see where it goes? You might get a cold shoulder, they might walk away, they might engage, and you might have a very good conversation. But not to be afraid to interject the name of Jesus. So I just want to echo Jim a little bit here. We need to read our Bibles. We need to open this book up. We need to see what it says. We need to follow it. It is the authority, we're not. Amen? We have to do what it says. It doesn't do what we say. And if we disagree, we're wrong. It's right. Right? That's just the way it is. We have to get involved. We need to be doing things. We need to be serving. We need to be helping others. And it could be here at church. It could be out in the workplace. It could be at the grocery store. It could be wherever you're at. God will put you in places to serve. And when it comes, just be willing and recognize it. And if you miss an opportunity, I promise you, he'll give you more. So just be open to them opportunities to serve and to get involved. It is a blessing. It just truly is a blessing. Every time I serve, I'm just moved by it. Discipling our kids and grandchildren. And dads, I'm just going to poke at you a little bit. We need to be discipling our kids. We get so distracted in this world. We got sports. We got cars. We got hunting. We got fishing. We got so many things that we get involved in. And none of them are bad in themselves. But involve that kid. Get them in there. And then show them how Christ is moving through all of that. We need to be discipling our young ones. We have to be. They are our next generation. We need to be there. We sung that song. I actually went and seeked out Jess to see if she could sing this song to me. And the lyrics, Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows cannot deny. Your name cannot be overcome. It can't be. He's preeminence. He's supremacy. His name will never be overcome. It is all powerful. Folks, that's our Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why we worship. And Lord, if that's not the Jesus you know, if that's not the Jesus you trust, there's plenty of folks in this church, including myself or Pastor Jim, that would love to have a conversation with you. Just that you know him and you believe in him and you trust in him. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, you've blessed us tremendously this morning. We thank you for this gathering together with all the saints, just coming together to worship your holy and precious name. Be with all those in there as we go out and to spread that wonderful name and that joy and that peace and love with others and the churches around us. I just pray that they're proclaiming that name with boldness and truth also. And we can just move in this place and move in this world and move in our communities in your powerful name. That's where it comes from. Lord, we love you. We trust in you and believe in you. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.